in Santa Cruz.
Free Speech Radio News is produced at Pacifica stations WBAI in New York, KPFK in Los Angeles, and KPFA in Berkeley, and community radio station WMNF in Tampa, Florida. The newscast is produced by Monica Lopez and Simba Russo. Headlines editors are Randy Zimmerman and Nell Abram. Our technical production team is Jade Paget-Seekins, Pauline Bartolone, Mick Millen, and Eric Klein. In Los Angeles, I'm Aura Bogado.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. You're listening to WSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
Okay, first of all, it's not WSB, it's WUSB 90.1 FM. All right, Willie, and the legal ID would be WUSB Stony Brook.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. You're listening to WSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
Oh, well. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so. Welcome back, everybody. We had a reggae marathon last week, which was a lot of fun. And hopefully people enjoyed that. But now it's back to business. The weekly talk show is back on the air. And of course, we welcome your feedback, whether it be with phone calls or email or even letters to the studio. OTW at 2600.com is our email address. 631-632-WUSB is our phone number. And hopefully we'll have time to take phone calls a little bit later on. And it's been a fun couple of weeks. Gotten a lot of work done outside of radio and all kinds of other things that have been going on. And I had some more fun experiences in the automobile world. Oh, boy. This is interesting. This is something. I gave the history of my various run-ins with other people a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago. Most of them took place when I wasn't even around, such as a tree falling on my car, somebody backing into me when I was parked on a street, a mysterious dent that appeared out of nowhere, things like that. And, of course, there was the famous garbage truck that decided to run a red light right in front of me. Well, I had another one. Yes, I had yet another experience. This time I was right here in Setauket, all right, in a parking lot, and there was a car right in front of me, going rather slow, no problem, I can deal with that. SUV, yeah, I should have realized right there that's the problem. SUV backing up out of a parking space, the car in front of me beeps, SUV stops, okay. I didn't want to be an idiot and beep again. I didn't think I would have to, but you know what, folks, guess what, I had to. Because that idiot in the car, or SUV, sorry, it's a truck, it's not a car, must have thought that since that one car had beeped and gone on its way, there couldn't possibly be another car behind it. And sure enough, as I'm passing behind the damn thing, the huge vehicle just moves blithely back as if I don't even exist and whacks right into me. And, you know, I was really, really pissed off by this because it's just such a typical thing. that these morons driving these huge vehicles do. They don't look. They don't pay attention. They assume that only people driving SUVs are out there and that cars don't exist. And it felt kind of good to tell this middle-aged woman all this. First time I think I've ever actually given the lecture to somebody driving an SUV. How much I hate these stupid vehicles. How they make you drive like idiots. How they're a menace to society. You know, the whole spiel. And all the time she's there trying to defend herself. I don't know how. I mean, her basic defense was, I didn't see you. I didn't see you, therefore you weren't there. And, you know, I said, you know, that's exactly the point, you didn't see me. Because these vehicles are designed in a way where you don't see things that are lower than you. And of course, there's a good deal of it's your fault as well. Anyway, I didn't want to be a jerk about the thing. It was, you know, a dent in my car. I've got a mystery dent that I don't know where it came from in the front. Now I have one in the back. I've got insurance that would charge me $500 deductible. I could go to court. I could go the whole big, like, American, like, legal fight. Or I could be satisfied that I gave the lecture to somebody. And maybe they'll think a little bit more carefully next time. I don't know. Maybe I should have done more. She seemed contrite enough, but boy, it really upsets me. These people just don't look where they're going. They're driving things that are way too big. I guess I should be happy that, you know, I haven't been really hurt by one of these things yet. Or that people I know haven't been really hurt by them. But I know a lot of people are getting hurt every day by SUVs, and anything to get those things off the road would be a good thing in my eyes. I know there are certain, you know, exceptions where you need these things. Like, you know, if you have octuplets or something. All right, I guess, you know, a waiver can be granted in that case. Or if you really have to haul a lot of 55-gallon drums of peanut butter, whatever it is you buy at the Super Shoppers Club, whatever it's called. But come on, you know, maybe if we raise gas to $4 a gallon, these things will finally, you know, drop off the radar. It would be nice. But that's nothing. That's nothing compared to my real car adventure that took place late last week. I was in New York City, and I was driving down 14th Street with a friend of mine, heading actually to the Lower East Side. And all of a sudden, I see this car in front of me, heading towards me. And this guy's driving like an idiot, you know, where you drive really fast and your car kind of, like, you know, spins out to the side because you're driving like a moron. I don't know what kind of point he was proving, if he was trying to impress somebody or just trying to get away from someplace really fast, but obviously he was going way too fast, and he actually lost control. He lost control of his car and started going sideways down 14th Street at a tremendous speed. And then somehow, with the back of his car, slams into a taxi. And I'm watching this from my rearview mirror. He had passed me by that point. I see it all through my rearview mirror. And I'm like, oh my God. Can't believe I just saw that. Can't believe that happened so close to me. And right away, without even thinking, I just do a U-turn to see if anybody's hurt, see if there's anything I can do to help. Because obviously, you know, it's happened. There's no more danger of any more accidents happening. So the thing to do in a case like that is do whatever you can. But then I notice that the moron is taking off. He's not even sticking around. After an accident like that, he's just peeling out down 14th Street, heading westbound. So there was only one thing I could do at that point. And I didn't even think about this either. But there were no cops around, for once. I just took off after the guy. I just took off after him. I got a 12-year-old car. It's another reason why I wasn't too upset about the dent in it. 12-year-old car, but it can still keep up with the best of them. That's sort of the advantage of having a standard. You know, you can control the car a lot better. So I take off after this guy who's running through red lights down 14th Street at high rates of speed. I figure any second now, he's either going to hit somebody else or a cop's going to stop him. But neither one of those things happens. So I realized this guy's going to get away with it. He's going to totally get away with it if nobody gets the license plate. So I take off after him, and yeah, I had to run through a couple of red lights myself. I didn't run through them. I looked carefully, beeped, all that kind of thing, made sure nobody was around, and went through them as quickly as it was safe to do. Followed him all the way down into the meatpacking district, down one-way streets. At one point, this other car got in front of me and was going really slowly, and I was in danger of losing the guy. So I had to do all this beeping and flashing and things like that. I actually pulled over a car. I didn't think I could do that. You know, when you're behind somebody and you want them to go faster, if you lean on the horn, they're going to think you're a jerk and they're just going to stop or slow down or come out of their car with a baseball bat. You know, whatever they've been brought up to do. But if you do the quick beeping and the flashing of lights, that indicates emergency, please pull over, and that's what they did. So I actually got the car to pull over, and then I took off after the guy down the meatpacking district, cobblestone streets and everything. It was just like an episode of Kojak. And he kept going down side streets and down avenues, but it was easy to find him even when he went out of sight because there was something seriously wrong with his car. After the collision, it must have been leaking oil or something. He was stinking up the entire street. And if you couldn't smell him, you could certainly see all the smoke that he was leaving behind. So eventually, I was able to get close enough where we were able to read the license plate. And keep in mind, this whole time, we were on the phone with the cops, or at least what I think were the cops. My friend had an AT&T GSM phone, dialed 911, was on the phone with someone who purported to be the police. So sometimes with cell phones, you don't know who you're actually talking to. And we kept trying to get the cops to show up, you know? We kept telling them where we were. I could not believe this. You know the phrase, there's never a cop around when you need one? I had never seen that happen with such accuracy as this point. Here I was, running through red lights. I've never done this before in my life. I'm getting away with it. The guy in front of me is getting away with it. You know, you can't walk down a street without seeing a cop or a cop car, but here I was driving all the way across town, and there was nobody. And we were on the phone trying to get them to come. Maybe that's the secret. Maybe they're trying to avoid crime. And if you call them and tell them where a crime is, they evacuate the area. I don't know. It's worth checking into. There might be something there. So anyway, we got close enough where we were able to read the license plate, reported it to the 911 people, and tried to stay somewhat behind the guy so he didn't see that we were following him. I've learned a lot about how to follow people. I've also learned when I'm being followed. So that was a bit of fun. We kept up with the guy. Called back again to see if the cops were on the way. Read the license plate to them a second time because they didn't seem to remember who we were. And eventually just gave up on the West Side Highway. And the guy took off someplace. We went back to the scene of the accident where there was one police car and a very shaken up cab driver. And believe it or not, the cop had no idea that we had the license plate. And by this time, we didn't remember the license plate because we had given it to the cops and we didn't have something to write it down with. So all we could do is hope that these guys communicate with each other and give the information out. But boy, that was fun. That was something. High speed, well, it wasn't really a high speed chase. It was more like a medium speed chase, like 30, 40 miles an hour across town. And, you know, afterwards, I guess I had second thoughts about it. Was that really a wise thing to do? Maybe some of you can advise me on that. But I'll tell you, at the time when it happened, there was just no thinking of anything else to do. A, you help the people in the accident. B, someone's trying to get away, you find out who they are, or you catch up to them, or you stop them somehow. All those times you hear on TV where people say, oh, I just went into automatic. I didn't know, you know, I ran into the burning building. Even though there was nobody in there, I just had to see. Well, it's kind of what happened. And my friend felt the same way, you know? No questioning. This is what we have to do. So I only hope it did some good. If you have any similar situations, please let us know, because we'd love to hear stories. All right, let's see. Speaking of stories, what's going on in the world? Because there's an awful lot going on in the world. We've missed out on a couple of major news events over the past couple of weeks, so see if we can catch up to them. Let's look at what the Associated Press thinks is news tonight. No. We're not going to read about Michael Jackson. We don't care. Good Lord, what's wrong with these people? Yeah, he'll go on trial. He'll have his day in court. whatever happens, happens. But it's not the top story. Why did... talking about it is probably just as bad as reading it. Okay, the United States has pulled its ambassador out of Syria. And they say rising tensions over yesterday's murder of a popular former Lebanese official is the reason. Washington is expressing profound outrage over the murder. But they're being very careful, stopping short of saying Syria actually did it. It's funny how we're so outraged by something like that. But we can turn a blind eye to things like it all around the rest of the world. Even Democrats say it looks like President Bush's spending request for Iraq and Afghanistan operations will get congressional approval because they're a bunch of wimps. They don't know how to argue or fight or debate or anything. It's so sad. But funny at the same time. The president says the $77 billion request will help Iraq and Afghanistan pursue the path of democracy and freedom. Yeah, I know. The elections were a great success. In the eyes of the media, in the eyes of the government. But, it's not really a success if it's tainted the way you got there. And it's also not a success if it hasn't played out yet. I still think civil war is on the agenda, and I think we may have pushed that along a lot quicker than we pushed along any democracy. Democracy really is only good if you fight for it yourself and get it yourself. You know? I think if some other country had come in and gotten it for us way back when we had it, it wouldn't have been quite as good. The Senate has confirmed federal judge Michael Chertoff as the nation's second Homeland Security Secretary. Chertoff has promised to balance protecting the country with preserving civil liberties. He's replacing Tom Ridge. Well, that ought to be fun. All right, enough of that. What else is going on? What else has been happening in the last couple of weeks? Well, Iran. Iran now is in the news. And, oh my God, here we go again. Here we go again. You know, this painting of another evil regime that's a threat to us. And the Democrats now are the ones that are really making things a whole lot worse. You know why? Because Iraq is a Republican thing. Now, the Democrats are saying, no, Iraq's not the problem. Look, here's a problem. Iran. Iran is the problem. Go to Iran instead. Not realizing, or maybe they are realizing, how stupid that is. You know, it's cutting off your nose to spite your face, or whatever that little phrase is. The point is, this invading of countries, toppling of regimes, instilling of puppet governments, that's the problem. Not a question of which one to go after. So, you know, the Democrats are going to say, well, let's go to Iran instead of Iraq. And that's a victory for the left wing in this country. Oh, yeah, right. I mean, I am so far out of whatever political norm there is. Because I just can't see it from any point of view that is currently in any remote way in power. It's completely wrong, in my opinion, to invade another country. Unless that country has done something horrible to you. And what has Iran done? Well, you know, they took hostages. Yes, in 1979, they took hostages. And they held them for 444 days. And then Ronald Reagan was elected, and they were released the same day that he was inaugurated. I guess as an embarrassment to Jimmy Carter. And then, a few years later, Ronald Reagan sold the Iranians weapons. So, you know, to me, that says all is forgiven. Or, you know, we don't really care about what they did in the past. Now, keep in mind, Iran had a U.S. puppet regime for many years, known as the Shah of Iran. And I remember demonstrations here at Stony Brook, back when Stony Brook used to have demonstrations. Now there'll be demonstrations if, like, they take Pepsi off campus or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm just missing it. But I don't see the activity that I used to see. And there certainly is a lot to demonstrate about. So you can't blame that anymore. It's not like the 1980s. You can't say there's nothing going on. There's a lot going on. But enough of that. I remember the demonstrations where people used to wear paper bags over their heads because they were afraid of what the Iranian authorities would do to them if their pictures got back home, or what they would do to their families. Now, this is the Iranian/American authorities. Yeah, we've been through all this before. Okay? We've been through all of this before. So then that led to an uprising of the people and a horrible regime led by the Ayatollah that was put into power with all kinds of horrible restrictions and religious doctrines and things like that. Wasn't very nice. There have been several periods of attempted democratization, but so far it hasn't worked. The one thing that's going to keep that from working is a common threat. And that common threat right now is the country that I'm speaking to you from, the United States of America, because we're now threatening them. And what are we threatening them for? For daring to develop nuclear power or nuclear technology, which I guess could be nuclear weapons. It could be nuclear power. We're not really sure. We are just going to assume that they're going to develop a nuclear weapon. And, you know, I can't for the life of me understand why that's such a big deal. Yeah, I'm against nuclear weapons. I always have been. How many nuclear weapons does this country have? Does anybody know how many nuclear weapons we have? It's a lot, right? Must be thousands? Maybe more? So this country dares to develop their own weapon. I don't understand what gives us the right to say you're not allowed to do this. It's like walking up to somebody. Let's use the gun analogy, okay, for all the gun nuts out there. And I say that with all due affection. And you say, you know, you're an equal person. You're part of the community. But we're going to allow this guy to have a gun and not you. Because we don't like you. There, you see? Okay, and so all the right-wing people now that are into this whole gun thing should see the logic. Oh, yeah, you know, we suspect that you're up to something. We don't like the way you look. We don't like the things you say. To me, there is absolutely no reason why this country can't defend itself. And they need to defend themselves. If anyone is threatening, it's this country. We are threatening other countries. If some other country threatens us, we not only defend ourselves by building up nuclear stockpiles, we invade them. Or we say we're going to invade them. Of course, Iraq didn't even do that. According to this story from the BBC, Iran's top nuclear negotiator says Iran will retaliate and accelerate its efforts to develop nuclear technology if attacked by the U.S. or Israel. As well they should. And keep in mind, I am not speaking for the regime. I'm not speaking for anything that they stand for. I'm speaking of them as a sovereign country that feels a threat. They have every right to defend themselves. What's the problem here? What's so hard to understand? They launch an attack against the United States or something like that. Okay, you know, the rules change then. But that hasn't happened. Unless I missed something, that has not happened. Same thing with North Korea. Yeah, there, you know, all kinds of nutty things are going on in there. But who are we to say that a country like Israel can have nuclear weapons and pretend that they don't? But these guys can't. You know, where is it written that only friends of ours are allowed to do this? Personally, I think they should all be destroyed. Nobody should have them. But if they're going to exist, it should be somewhat balanced. So, that's what Iran is threatening if they are attacked, which to me is not really a threat. It's more like countering a threat, because this country has already threatened them. And now we're flying drones over Iran. U.S. sources are giving conflicting signals about a Washington Post report saying America has been using unmanned flights for the past year to gather intelligence on Iran's nuclear capability. What do you think would happen if Iran flew a drone over this country? Oh, we'd probably be launching nukes right away because that's an invasion of some sort, right? It's just the arrogance that bothers me. You know, we can do this because we can and you can't. And it's so blatant now. It's so blatant. They don't even care how bad it makes them look. And anyone who speaks out against them is an enemy. Well, I'm sorry, you know. Yeah, you have to call something as nonsense at some point. United States reaffirmed its opposition to two-way talks with North Korea on its nuclear weapons program. This after North Korea announced that, yes, in fact, they have nuclear weapons. Of course, there's no way to verify this. They could just be posturing. But, you know, it seems to me if the United States is the country that has such a problem with North Korea, why not? Why not talk to them? What could be lost from talking to them? It seems to me that we just would prefer to back them into a corner and get them to humiliate themselves somehow, which in Korean culture is a very bad thing to do. And I'm sure we know this. All these situations can be resolved fairly easily. But it involves respect, it involves a bit of compromise, it involves communication, and those are things that the current government does not seem at all interested in. Seems mostly interested in just getting their way through force, through intimidation, through being the only superpower in the world. And that's a real danger. It's a real danger because who is going to correct the mistakes that we make? You know? Who's going to challenge when we do something horrible? Not the United States, United Nations. United Nations is just going to roll over and do whatever we say. I can't believe the things that the United States has gotten away with regards to the United Nations. And other countries, you know, some countries in Europe might speak out against us, against our policies, but 6 months later, they're trying to be friends. No sanctions, no penalties, nothing. This whole Iraq thing, you know, there should be people going to prison for this. There should be people facing all kinds of penalties. There should be international courts being called into session. But it's not happening. Why? Because, well, we don't want it to. Must be nice to have that kind of power. Boy, I got into a real argument a couple of weeks ago. In fact, a bunch of us did. In New York, I was sort of hanging out with a bunch of my friends, half of them on the right, half of them on the left. Yes, I'm right there smack in the middle. And one person actually had served in Iraq, had served as a soldier. You know, I'm not even sure, soldier, Army, Navy, Marines. To me, it's all the same. I know to people in the military, that's the worst thing you can possibly say, but I'm sorry, as a civilian, it doesn't really matter. If you're the 41st Airborne Battalion Division, I don't even know why we have to know these things. There's just too many different categorizations of what's basically the same thing. And then they compete with each other and work against each other. It's so silly. It's the military, all right? Let's make it very simple. The United States military. So one of my friends had served in the United States military and was back for a little while and was heading back over there again. And the rest of my friends were kind of on the other side. And I guess we could have gotten into a whole big geeky discussion about the latest microprocessors and things like that. But I just thought it would be a lot more interesting to talk about world events. And yeah, you know, it does get a bit heated at times, but it's important to not avoid these things. I don't know why we always avoid discussions. But I found it to be true more times than not. When people start discussing world events, one of two things happens. Either people say, let's change the subject, let's not talk about this. Or people go completely crazy and fly off the handle and start throwing things. And both of those reactions tell me that people do not know how to have a civilized conversation about something controversial. And there's definitely gaps that cannot be bridged. For instance, one of my anti-war friends simply could not understand why my military friends simply did not walk away when ordered into battle. And my military friends said, well, you know, you can't possibly understand that unless you've been over there, unless you've been part of the military. You can't possibly understand what it's about. And you have to follow orders. That's what the military is. Yes, but the orders are wrong. Well, it's not up to us to judge if the orders are wrong. You know, this kept going back and forth like that. And I realized that there's something that a lot of us cannot understand. When you're over there, yeah, you know, you're part of it. You're a big part of it. And it's not really the time for individual people to say, well, I think it would be better to do it this way. Maybe we should run around this corner instead of going down that street. You know, it's... I'm not a military person, but I know that's not wise. The time to oppose things is before you're in a situation where you have no choice. And that's what I think people weren't able to grasp, because they would never be in that situation to start with. So, you know, I had to do a lot of bridge building to try to get people to understand what the other people were saying. But, you know, obviously I'm a lot closer to the anti-war people because I happen to be one of them myself. And I noticed with a bit of dismay how people change after going through situations like that. For instance, calling everybody in the country Muhammad. Things like that. I guess it's, you know, like calling everybody Charlie in Vietnam. Or basically becoming desensitized to what the people over there are doing, ridiculing them, expressing glee at the fact that they're being mowed down by machine guns because they dare to attack you, not being able to understand why they were attacking you. Obviously, you know, that's not the best time to try and reach out and understand their point of view if they're firing upon you. But afterwards, once you're back in the country and safe, try to understand why these people are trying to kill you. Their country has been invaded. Their country has been torn asunder. And all kinds of horrible things are happening now that were not happening a couple of years ago. Yeah, there were other horrible things happening then, but nowhere near what's happening now, despite what you may be told. And the road ahead does not look very promising, despite what you may be hearing. A lot of violence ahead. So, yeah, you know, I could see people being upset just at having an occupying force. And I think we'd be doing the exact same thing if the shoe was on the other foot. But, you know, it's impossible to get people to understand this. But it sure is good to talk about it, to go back and forth and argue about all these things. It's important. It's important to get it out of our system. And, you know, nobody went berserk. I think we all felt a little bit better just having that long, drawn-out, three-hour debate in the coffee shop. And, of course, people would come and go and, you know, give their opinions. I think, you know, there's way too little of that going on. And that's what the dangerous thing is, when people just accept what's happening around them. And then you have all kinds of other messed up things going on. Like this Marine general saying it's fun to shoot some people. Good Lord. You heard about this, right? Lieutenant General James Mattis made the comments a couple of weeks ago during a panel discussion in San Diego. Actually, it's quite fun to fight them, you know? It's a hell of a hoot. It's fun to shoot some people. I'll be right up with you. I like brawling. You go into Afghanistan, you got guys who slap women around for 5 years because they didn't wear a veil. You know, guys like that ain't got no manhood left anyway, so it's a hell of a lot of fun to shoot them. This coming from a commander. And you wonder why you're seeing torture pictures and hearing all kinds of accounts, because it is coming from the top down. People are saying, yeah, it's all right to do this kind of thing, because these people are scum. They're not human beings. They don't deserve respect. Well, it's not that simple. When you think it's that simple, you can do things, not think about them, not worry about them, not stay up nights. But it's not that simple. And this guy really should not be around. You know how molesters should not be around children? This guy should not be around army people because he leads them astray and does horrible things. Now, I saw this headline on the AP, and I read it completely differently than what it actually is. New law to help soldiers get out of contracts without penalty. I thought, good, you know, it's about time. These poor soldiers. And that's another thing. You know, a lot of my lefty friends have no sympathy for anybody who signed up, whether it be the National Guard or, you know, enlisted to get education or a career or something like that. No, you did the evil thing. You signed up with the military. You deserve what you get. Well, I'm sorry. I don't agree with that. I think a lot of people were misled. A lot of people were trying to find a better life for themselves. They did not know they were going to be sent into a foreign country to fight some crazy war. And when I saw this headline, I thought maybe those people were being helped, you know? They could break the contract that they signed under false pretenses. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's all there someplace. But the way it's presented to them, the way it's presented to these recruits, it's nothing but good that can come out of it. Sign up for the National Guard and, you know, work one weekend, a month. All of a sudden, you find yourself being shot at. It's something I think people deserve to have a second thought about. Anyway, that's not what the story's about. This is about the Ohio Patriot Plan. Governor Bob Taft is expected to sign it. Actually, expected to sign it today. It's meant to spare Ohio families from the stress of not being able to pay the rent or pay various bills because a member of the family is overseas being shot at. The legislation would make it illegal to evict financially struggling immediate family of military service members who have been deployed. The measure also makes it easier for service members to get out of long-term contracts for things such as car leases and cell phones, and it prohibits disconnection of utilities either during deployment or while injured soldiers recuperate. Well, that's great, but how about getting them out of the biggest contract of all? The one that puts their lives at risk for no good reason at all. Somehow I doubt they're going to sponsor a bill for that. A Catholic university in Milwaukee has blocked an attempt by Republican students to raise money for a group called Adopt a Sniper that raises money for U.S. sharpshooters in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah, it just keeps getting better, doesn't it? The students were selling bracelets bearing the motto, "One shot, one kill, no remorse, I decide." You know, they probably could have come up with a better slogan than that. That's like so clumsy. Unless that one is an I, but that says one. I shot, I kill, no remorse, I decide. No, that doesn't even... I don't even know what it means. Clearly, the rhetoric of that organization raised some questions, and we had some strong objections as a Jesuit university, said Marquette University School spokeswoman Bridget O'Brien. The students representing a group called College Republicans, yeah, we have some of them here too, originally got permission to set up a table at the student union to raise money for U.S. troops in Iraq. But they chose to promote a group called Adopt a Sniper, which says on its website it supports snipers deployed by the United States Armed Forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. How is this not terrorism? You know, I don't understand that. If we set up a table downstairs for Hezbollah snipers who are fighting a battle of their own, whether you agree with it or not, all of a sudden, you know, that's a terrorist thing, but this is patriotism. Oh, please. I saw these snipers. They were shooting at journalists when Fallujah was about to be invaded. There were some reports that were not aired in this country. They were on the BBC, and they were running away from American snipers. Journalists. Anyway, it's the brainchild of a Texas police SWAT officer. Why am I not surprised? And their website, adoptasniper.org, has raised thousands of dollars in cash and gear to supplement the kit of sharpshooters and U.S. combat platoons. I also don't understand why, when we're giving hundreds of billions of dollars to the military for this little game, why do we need to raise money for them as well? Why are there bake sales and people making donations, and I don't understand this. All the money is going to them already. We should be raising money for the things that it's being taken away from. You know, how about raising money for the poor people, the homeless people, the schools that are being plundered, the space shuttle, the Hubble telescope, all these things that we're losing as a result of this. And yes, it is as a result of this. All right. And then we have local news. By the way, 631-632-9872 is our phone number if anyone wants to call in with comments or feedback of any sort. A man who opened fire in a crowded shopping mall with an assault weapon, wounding two, seemed to have a lurid fascination with the Columbine High School shooting. That's according to a prosecutor Monday. Robert Brunelli is accused of wounding two people and sending shoppers scurrying for safety. This happened near Albany. Guy was using an AK-47. Now, okay, gun people out there, I want to hear. I just want to hear the logic now. All right? The NRA supports all these semi-automatic and automatic weaponry, you know, Teflon bullets, all that kind of nonsense. This guy walks into a mall with an AK-47, which I'm sure he was able to get quite easily. Someone please explain to me the advantage of having an AK-47. No, you know, a better idea. Find me, search through the entire collection of news stories in this country written by real news agencies. I don't mean, you know, a gun website. I mean a real news agency that written a story about somebody who did something good with an AK-47 in the United States. Somebody who saved a child with an AK-47. Somebody who, you know, was able to prevent the crime with an AK-47. You know, it was important that he have this particular automatic or semi-automatic weapon. Now, of course, cops don't count. I'm talking about citizens possessing these incredible implements of destruction. Now, we're not talking about, you know, hunting. We're not talking about self-defense if you feel that's the way to defend yourself. If all the talk about confronting the burglar in your home, which, you know, I always seem to hear about these scenarios from people who are into guns. Never hear about it from anybody else. But if that situation is something that you believe in, fine. Do you need an AK-47 for that? I just want to know, what's the logic? Because this kind of thing is out of control. And, you know, I actually have a bit of respect for an organization like the NRA if they stepped up and said, this kind of thing is bad. This kind of thing should not be permitted. And it's, please, do not bring up the Second Amendment nonsense, because it's got nothing to do with that. People collect guns because they think guns are cool, all right? They're fun toys. And that's an irresponsible attitude. But if you're trained, if you know what you're doing, they can be safe. Unfortunately, so many people are not trained. And that's the problem. That's a real problem. People keep loaded guns in their homes where kids can find them. That's a real problem. People buy automatic and semi-automatic weapons when there's no use for them at all. Are we going to take down the government? Okay, let me know if that's going to be happening. Let me know anytime soon, please. We get all kinds of letters on these things. First of all, I went to a website trying to find out more about AK-47s. And yeah, it's a big enthusiastic community. They have pictures on their website of the World Trade Center saying, this is what our nation is responding to. I don't get it. They're buying AK-47s in this country to respond to the World Trade Center? What is that going to accomplish? Well, listen to a couple letters here. I found your discussion of electronically personalized firearms at the end of the February 1st show interesting. As a competitive shooter, I've been aware of such news for many years now. I'll try not to get too technical, but all such guns are electromechanical, involving a linkage moved in and out of firing position via a magnet or a solenoid. Despite having a biometric front end, such safety devices are easily defeated. In order to truly reap the benefits of a personalized firearm, ammunition ignition would have to be under full microprocessor control as well. This would require electrically ignited ammunition, and there have been many developments in this area. But be careful what you ask for. Such ammunition is extremely small and unusually lethal. Oddly enough, the original intent of personalization, as proposed by Colt Firearms in Hartford, Connecticut, many years ago, was to provide law enforcement officials another survival option should their sidearm be taken from them, and such technology would not be made readily available to the general public. Politicians seem to take the exact opposite position, more so out of convenience, I feel, and also because there is no police advocacy group or union that would allow any mandate that police carry such personalized guns to pass. Personalization should be an option, not a mandate. I could ramble on for hours about why I've come to this conclusion, but I'll stop here. Signed, Big B. P.S. Thanks for the Brain Damage Archives on 2600.com. They bring back a lot of memories and some great broadcasts from 1990 before I left for college. Well, some good news on that front. We should have 1988, the final year, which is also the first year that Brain Damage started. We should have that finished in the next week. If it's not up by next week, it'll certainly be up by the week after that. But the gun personalization issue is an interesting one, for sure. I'd like to see more developments. Maybe the technology isn't in place yet for this. But if it were, it could solve a lot of problems, making some accountability. I mean, I think people should be accountable for every bullet they fire. Is that not fair? I don't think somebody should be able to simply grab your gun and fire it. If you have a gun. I don't think you should be able to grab somebody else's gun and fire it. There's a lot of gun grabbing going on out there. And I think people who have guns should be rigorously tested. And followed up on if they do anything wrong, such as letting their kids get a hold of their guns. You know, it's a simple thing. And we're seeing all the horror that goes on as a result of us being careless. Here's another letter. This letter was sent to the wrong mailbox, by the way, and I got to admonish people for this. OTW, not OTH. OTH is the other radio show. Goes to different people. And people send something about guns. We don't talk about guns in the other show, but it kind of confuses people. So remember, send to the right mailbox. And please don't send to both mailboxes, even if you think it's of interest to both shows. Pick one or the other. Okay. Emmanuel, how can you be so anti-gun? You know, it amazes me when people say this. You're for gun control, and that makes you anti-gun. You're for responsibility, and somehow you're trying to take rights away from people. It's such a revealing statement when people say that to me. Never once have I said that people should line up and give in all their guns and not be able to hunt or not be able to, have certain approved uses or things like that. What I'm saying is that it's out of control now. We have all kinds of weaponry out there that should not be out there. We have all kinds of irresponsible people who have access to things they should not have access to. All right, let's continue. I just don't understand it. A man I have looked up to since the age of 15. Oh, here we go. I can still remember the day I met you when you visited Chicago 10 years ago, like it was yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry for that. I cannot figure out how such a bright individual, I will go as far as to say genius, now I know you don't know what you're talking about, is so blindly against firearms. Again, you know, these mass assumptions. Okay, bottom line is this. The Second Amendment is the most important amendment next to the First for two reasons. Oh, boy. First, it gives the people the tools to defend all the other amendments. That is crap. That is utter crap. All right, because the First Amendment is being destroyed left and right. Where are you guys with your guns, huh? I had my First Amendment rights taken away in court. I didn't see any of you storming the courthouse. Your guns were useless. Your guns will continue to be useless in that regard. You're not gonna win back any of these rights by firing metal into the air. Sorry, it's not gonna help. All right. Second, it gives the people the tools to defend their lives from criminals. Well, here we go. It's a contest, then. It's a contest between criminals and law-abiding citizens. If the criminals get something, we have to have it to defend ourselves against the criminals. Well, where is that going to end? You know, it's kind of out of control, then. If the only people with automatic weapons are criminals, well, then, maybe it makes it easier to prosecute the people with automatic weapons. I've heard all of your arguments for gun control during OFH. What's OFH? That's sort of a mixture of all the shows. No, it's Off the Wall a few weeks ago. None of them held any water. Okay, fine. I'd like to hear the facts here. You need to do some research before you talk any more on gun control. Okay, let's get to the facts. I can tell you're just winging it and going off feelings and not facts. Where's the beef here? Okay, it's wrong to say that gun control helps save the lives of innocent people because that is the furthest thing from the truth when you actually look at the facts. We still haven't gotten to the facts here. Come on. Wasting time. When a politician takes away the right to carry guns from the people, he is condemning them to a death sentence. Another soundbite. Do some research. The cities with the highest murder rates have the toughest gun control because the people cannot defend themselves from killers. I don't believe that. I don't think the facts back that up either. It'd be nice to cite something, though, wouldn't it? If someone breaks into your house, what are you going to do? I'd like to hear from all the people who've had their homes broken into while they're still sitting in their homes, and they've been able to run and get their gun and use it to stave off the unarmed burglar and hold them until the cops get there. I'd like to hear all these instances. I'll tell you what, for every story that someone sends me from a reputable news source, too, not some make-believe gun site, I will provide 10 stories of someone's kid shooting a friend, of someone getting pissed off at his wife and killing her, or someone blowing his own head off because he was a little depressed that day. All right? So, let's compare facts here, all right? You want to compare facts? We'll compare facts. Of course, there are people, I guess, that walk around their homes with guns all the time so that no matter where the burglar breaks in, they're ready for them. Please. I guess, you know, I could have used a gun while I was chasing the guy across town, right? I could have blown out his tires or something. Would that be a valid use? I mean, I'm trying to catch a criminal, right? The guy left the scene of an accident. I had a clear shot. Nobody was in the way. What's wrong with that, huh? Someone tell me what's wrong with that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm not a gun nut or anything, but you did ask what the advantage of having an AK-47 was.
Yes, please tell me.
Right. And in a government that is becoming more and more progressively, well, Nazis, for lack of a better term,
mm-hmm.
like, if they can have AK-47s and they are quite possibly going to start selectively picking out people to detain as enemies of the state, then goddammit, I want one.
How much damage do you think your AK-47 can do against the government?
Against the government?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not much, but against the 7 guys they send to go catch me, you know, maybe a little bit more. Maybe enough so that I can get away.
Yes, but what are you accomplishing? You know, they're just going to get more weapons, they're going to get more guys, they're going to have more of a sense of purpose. You know, the overall fight, I think, would be further behind.
That one time.
I mean, are we any further ahead because of something like Oklahoma City, where somebody thought he was fighting the government by blowing up a building. Things clamped down a lot more after that. You know, every time somebody does something, you know, Waco, for instance,
because
they take a stand, it actually comes back and they just they come back with even more weapons, more people, and more support.
So because they become more oppressive, we should give up more of our rights?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that
they clamp down on assault. I remember after Columbine, I couldn't walk around my high school because I wore a trench coat. And,
mm-hmm.
like, not that I'm, like, saying, like, I approve of what they did or anything.
Now,
but
that's a fight worth fighting. You know, wearing something, speaking your mind, publishing something. But, you know, I don't see what's accomplished by having weaponry that can kill people. And having more of it than you had last week. I don't see the progression.
What do you mean by more weaponry than you had last week?
Well, you know, we're in sort of an arms race here, all right? People, citizens of this country are getting more and more weapons. It used to be, you know, people had a rifle, people had a handgun. Now as people have AK-47s. You know, what, are we going to have cannons next and tanks? What's it building up towards?
people have had AK-47s for a long time. I mean, ask anybody who goes to gun shows. You can purchase an AK-47. Like, even before they took the ban off assault rifles, you could purchase an AK-47 and a firing pin so that it could fire automatically as long as you didn't put the two together. Now, like, who's going to stop you from putting them together in your
absurd.
Own home? I have no idea.
Okay, well, since we're running out of time, let me just ask you the original question I asked, which is, has there been a single documented case of someone using an AK-47, not a cop, but somebody using an AK-47 for some good purpose? And can you document that?
No, I cannot document that.
Okay, well, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you find something, send it to us, and we can explore it a little bit more.
Okay, well, thus far, we haven't had to, well, we haven't visibly had to defend our nation from itself and its own tyrannies, but that is sort of what the clause is there for.
Yeah, but, you know, I just don't understand how you think that we can possibly stand up to the armaments that, you know, you need an army to do that kind of a fight, all right? And the army has plenty of weapons. If you get the army on your side, there's your militia right there, you know? The people are not going to get anywhere by firing random AK-47s.
They're not supposed to be random. They're supposed to be an organized militia of their own.
Okay, well, where is that organized militia with the AK-47s? Is there one around here?
Unfortunately, there is one, but it's got like 3 members in New York.
Uh-huh.
It is an official militia, which is sad. But every state is supposed to have its own militia, and people just don't keep up on it.
All right, well, you know, it sounds like some organization needs to be undertaken to get what you want, and I don't think we're going down that path with everybody's just going out getting their own AK-47s, you know?
But I don't think the way to accomplish that is by backsliding and removing people's rights to have them. I think the way to accomplish that is to educate people further on their proper use as opposed to convenience stores and Best Buy, and to actually go forth and create these organized militias in order to provide a check on the military, government's military.
But if the militia doesn't exist, then people have these AK-47s, and their only purpose is to shoot at the government, supposedly, right? It's kind of hard to, you know, to justify that, really, in rational terms.
No, that it's not at all. That was the reason why you were allowed your Second Amendment rights in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So that if the government did become tyrannical, you could defend against your tyrannical government.
Okay, well, you know, in my opinion, the government has become tyrannical, so should I be able to go out with an AK-47 and take out some senators? You know,
be able to organize a militia of people who supposed to have that power,
mm-hmm.
and you should be able to, yes, storm Washington and purge the government.
And
is
that happening right now? Are people organized militias and planning this kind of thing?
Not to the best of my knowledge. To the best of my knowledge, I've seen a whole lot of terrible things going on, and the worst I saw was some people throw eggs at the president's car. Woo.
Yeah, someone did throw an egg. Okay. Listen, we're out of time, but let's continue this discussion in weeks ahead. Thanks so much for calling. And unfortunately, we are out of time. Boy, I'd love to continue talking about this. It's fun to debate these issues. Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. See you next week. And tomorrow night on Off the Hook. Good night.
Sweet Regina's gone to China, cross-legged on the floor. Planting rice all day. Maybe she will do a bit of spying with micro cameras hidden in her hair.
God if you can. And please convey my fond regards to she house girl you land.
This is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.